Worship is giving. Thank you for giving to the kingdom. Without you, so much would not happen here and across the world. And at Calvary Gospel Church, we have a very giving church, and God has blessed those efforts here locally. Things that are happening, things happen across the nation. Over in Liberia, a church that is being built all because of your giving to the kingdom. So as you give, there are different ways you can do that. You can go online, you can give in person. We have some boxes just outside the doors here that you can place your offering in. You can send it by snail mail, or you can give in the Church Center app. By now, hopefully most of you are familiar with the Church Center app. If you're not, Pastor Phil would love to help you sort through that. Two announcements about this weekend. On Saturday, we're going to be celebrating Elder Caskey's 80th birthday. We are excited to do that, and we are hosting an open house here between 1 and 4, so we encourage you to come and celebrate this treasure, this gift that God has given us here at Calvary Gospel. We're so thankful for you, Brother and Sister Caskey. Praise God. And then on Sunday, we're going to be honoring the Seidels. We're excited for what God has called them to in the next chapter of life. A little sad to let them go here. It's been a long time. We're going to miss them, but they are not far. So we want to bless them this weekend, and we are going to have a card box available. And so we would encourage you to write a note of thanks to Brother and Sister Seidel, and then we'll have a box available that you can drop that in. And you are invited after our service. We're going to have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We're going to have service at 11 o'clock, and we're going to honor them in that service. And then following that service, we're going to celebrate with food and have tacos and cookies afterwards. So make plans to stay and celebrate with us this weekend. Lots happening. Friday night youth rally, Saturday party, Sunday party, worship, all that stuff. Praise God. Please stand with me. We're going to go into prayer before we praise tonight. And as we pray, I'd ask you to remember my uncle, Mike Jordan. He was admitted to the hospital this evening. So pray that the Lord would touch him and help him with what's going on. And then we also want to remember Zippy, Zephaniah. If you don't know who that is, Leandra and Andrew's son. He is in remission. However, they're going to be transferring him this weekend, Sunday night, late Sunday night into Monday. He should be arriving here at the Children's Hospital. They're going to prepare him this week because they're going to do a bone marrow transplant on him. He's 3 years old. It's been quite a journey over the last few months. So pray that the Lord would have his way, give them traveling mercies, that he would order their steps, continue to guide him through this procedure with his medical team, and pray for his parents and for his aunts and for his grandparents that are here, and just pray that the Lord would have his way and continue to use this for his glory. In Jesus' name, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together tonight, that we can be here in your house. We thank you for the privilege that it is, and help us to remember that tonight. God, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you are working already. And God, we just ask that you would have your way tonight in every heart and every mind, that you would open our hearts and our ears to receive from you. God, that we would connect with you in ways that we have not today. Lord, that we would know that you are here and that you desire to work in our hearts and our minds. And God, we know that you have prepared this evening for us. But God, before we hear your word, we just want to praise you for who you are. We just want to thank you for who you are, God. We love you and we praise you tonight. And God, I pray for those who are not able to be here tonight, maybe due to sickness or whatever reason that it is, God. Maybe they're watching online. I pray that you would go there. And we're so thankful that you are not limited just to this place, but God, that you are everywhere. And I pray that in every heart and every mind, you would move tonight. God, I lift up my uncle Mike to you, and I pray that you would just be with him and be with his medical team. Lord, you see the situation here, and God, you are healer, and we ask you, Lord, that you would minister healing to his body tonight, and that you would encourage him and lift him up, God. We thank you for what you are doing in little Zippy's body. We thank you for the remission that this cancer is in, and we pray that that would continue to happen. God, that you would order the steps of his medical team as they prepare for him to make this flight this weekend, that you would give them traveling mercies. God, that you would encourage and lift up his parents and his family, that you would use this situation for good. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you are moving. And we pray tonight that you would just have your way as Pastor delivers the word that you have given to him, that your anointing would flow, and that you would help each one of us to yield to you so that you can do what only you can do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus.
Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How many are ready to bless the name of Jesus tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
To worship you, I live to worship you. Yeah. never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Hallelujah, Jesus, your love never fails, Lord. I thank you for your love, Jesus. I thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, oh God, Jesus.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to Jesus right now, hallelujah. You're greater, God, than any circumstance, Lord Jesus, any sickness, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. You're great and mighty, Jesus.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we'll rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if for us, then who could ever stop us? Then if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And what could stand against? Hallelujah, Jesus. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are high. Awesome in power, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God, our God.
Praise the Lord, church. They've got me four water bottles up here tonight, so hang on. God bless you. Oh, five. God bless you. You can be seated. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord tonight and enjoying such a beautiful week. And if you have plants outside, better bring them in tonight. I didn't listen, and mine all got frostbitten and died. Now I get to start over again, but nevertheless, not all of them, but I'm just throwing that out as your friendly extension of your friendly weather app. We are going to be celebrating this weekend. It's on Saturday, Elder Caskey's 80th birthday, and we're excited about that. And then the Seidels on Sunday, and Brother and Sister Seidel have been a part of this congregation for a very long time. And Brother Seidel recently, Sister Terry's father passed away, I think it was maybe a year and a half or so ago, and he inherited a couple of boats that I believe his name Gordon had, and gave them to John, and one of them he's passing on to his grandson. And the other one he's keeping, but it doesn't have a motor. And Brother Seidel is such an awesome man. He loves to fish, and I talked with our staff. I said, I think that for a going-away gift for Brother Seidel, we need to get him a motor for his boat. Now, we're not talking a big, huge motor, but went over to Cabela's. And so if you would like to take and help Brother Seidel get a motor on his boat, you're more than welcome to join in, and a number of us are joining in, and you could just put that in the offering and just put it, Brother John's boat, how's that? And we'll make sure it gets into his motor fund. And Sister Terry, we're not going to give her a motor, but we're going to get her a nice gift card that she can take, and maybe while John's fishing, she can whatever ladies do, shopping with gift cards, I guess. I don't know. So, but if you'd like to take and help in this endeavor and contribute to this, just turn that into the offering or however you normally do your giving. So I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm excited about what God is doing. I've had a number of conversations with a number of people over the last week, and I believe that God is really challenging us as individuals, challenging us as a church, and we've been in a series on the power of boldness. And each part of this series I kind of lay out, and it's kind of a little bit of a repeat. And we've been reading from the book of Acts chapter 4 verses 13 and 14 as our key verse. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now I'm going to stop right here, and boldness, I just want to make this clear, and I have made this clear, but I just want to repeat this. Boldness, they're not talking about belligerence, all right? And when they saw the belligerence of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that would actually kind of fit, wouldn't it? A bunch of belligerent, unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled perhaps at their stupidity. Okay? That's what happens a lot when I hear and have things sent to me, and you look on social media, and it just kind of amazes me that most people consider Christians as unlearned and ignorant. Don't know what they don't believe in climate change, and they don't believe in, I believe in climate change. The Bible says that the seasons are going to change. This has been prophesied for thousands of years. how they're going to change, and whether it's our fault or something God's going to do, then it doesn't matter, Brother Repke. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. How it gets there, what we do, has no bearing. We can't stop it. If God says that the moon is going to turn to blood or look red as blood, and the oceans are going to become bitter, and whatever God says is going to happen is going to happen. But sometimes as apostolics, we can get a little bit of an attitude that leans on the unlearned and ignorant side, and people marvel at us, at our boldness or our belligerence in this. And too oftentimes, people just ignore. They don't want to hear it, and they walk away. We're going to read this again. And now when they saw the boldness, when they saw that Peter and John were full of the Holy Ghost, and they acknowledged them that they had been with Jesus, they had an anointing on them, they had something was different about them, and the man was healed. And they could say nothing against it. You see, the enemy, the only language that the devil understands is boldness and violence. And we have to understand that boldness triggers the supernatural and shuts the mouths of our enemies. Not belligerence. Belligerence exit on. If you're there and you're talking to someone and your sole purpose is to win the argument, there's a problem with your motive. I sometimes just let people ramble on and on and on and on, and I realize that, you know what, I'm not going to get there from here, so we'll save it for another time. And I don't even engage in what I really feel like I'd like to engage in. I just let it go. And I look for opportunities. We talked about opportunities. I look for opportunities and where I can talk with somebody that's receptive and that's willing to listen, that wants some change in their life. So boldness triggers the supernatural, shuts the mouth of our enemy. In our last message, we covered about how we release this force, this principle, into our daily lives. And we gave boldness a definition. Boldness is a fearless attitude. Boldness is fearless in your speech. Boldness is fearless in your actions. And how do we unleash this spirit of boldness in our lives? Is we have to know who we are. The righteous is bold as a lion. Therefore, we must understand our positions in the righteousness of God, and we must understand the positional truth in Jesus Christ, and we must understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand that. We have to know who we are. It's a lot easier to be bold in something if you know who you are. And you know you have an authority standing behind you. So we need to doubt our doubts, believe our beliefs, and we need to believe what God's word tells us, or what God tells us in his word. We have to know who we are in God, that God is with us. Now, our first principle that we covered in this is bulldog tenacity. We talked about Trixie, our little Pekingese Chihuahua, versus Fritz, the neighbor's German Shepherd. And we also covered the principle of exercising emotional control over negative emotions. That was this past Sunday. We talked about anxiety. We talked about fear. We talked about doubt. We talked about guilt, depression, discouragement, and jealousy. These are all emotions, negative emotions, that if we allow these emotions to control us, then our boldness will come out more as belligerence than it does anointed words from the Word of God. And this is why it's important. So we're going to get in a little deeper into this, and there are a number of critical keys when it comes to spiritual boldness. So we're going to start off tonight's lesson and talk about something that you're probably going to say, oh boy, but it is something that we all struggle with and we all have to conquer and we all have to be strong in, and that is mental discipline. Some of you are saying, oh me, some are saying, amen. A person with spiritual boldness has to have an indomitable spirit. Anybody know what that is? Anybody know what an indomitable spirit is? Sister Jeanette? It's a spirit that cannot be broken. It's a spirit, we're going to put this in a spiritual context, it's a spirit in which the enemy cannot break. No matter how hard he comes against it, listen, we can have strongholds that are good strongholds. Not every stronghold has to be a bad enemy stronghold in our life. We can be stubborn about good things. And what this is talking about, what I'm saying here is we have to have a spirit. We have to be a person with resolute. That means I will not allow myself to dwell on the foolishness of negative thinking as opposed to seeking the positive possibilities in life. There is enough negative junk going on in the world today that I don't need any more negativity inside of my head. I went in last night. My wife wasn't feeling good, and I went in last night to Papa Jimmy's Pizza, which is kind of the Cozy Nook, Papa Jimmy's, BB Jack's. They're all local Cottage Grove restaurants. And so I go in, and everybody knows me in there, and it's like, you want the usual? It's like, hey, Roy, how you doing? I'm doing good. Usual? Yep. So I'm sitting there, and I've never been there where that he's had Fox News on. It's always sports stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, it's Fox News. I'm not a big TV news guy, okay? So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and I had to take and change the angle and the way I sat because I got aggravated at all the negativity. I'm like, I'm here to have, is there anything else? Reruns of basketball, NCAA champions of 4 or 5 years ago was so much better than Fox News. I had to relocate. I had to reposition myself because I didn't want to be filled up with the negativity. And I could feel what was coming over. I could feel that, brother, that spirit, Brother Repka, in a pizza joint. The devil's trying to get in your head, trying to get in your mind, trying to drive. We're talking about mental discipline, being strong in our heads. Used to work with a man, very unique. He'd say, yeah, he's just dumb in the head. He'll never get it. I used to think about that dumb in the head. What exactly does that mean? I figured that out. There's a lot of people today in our world, and I'm going to just say it out there, that are just dumb in the head. What does that mean? It means they have no mental discipline and they have no ability to think critically. Everything is emotion. Everything is for the here and the now, and what's going to give me more likes? What's going to make me more popular? What's going to drive me to the top of my influence on online? People are crushed. I'm venting here. I've never seen businesses today more obsessed over good reviews. I hate it going to business and they ask you, can I get your email address? No. Well, I got to have it to check you out. No, you don't. Check me out. I'm paying cash. Here, $20. Well, I really need your email address. No, I don't want to give you my email address. I reluctantly to get in, get out of the, I gave them my email address, and the first thing they send to me is a review on how did you like your service. Everything was good until I went to check out. And I couldn't check out without you getting an email address so you could send me a review on how did you do. I don't like that. You failed. I just, we're obsessed with it. I go to the doctor now quite frequently, more frequently than I would desire to. And I can't believe it. I get these messages. Text messages from university hospital systems. How did we do? All of these things, you got to fill all this junk out. You can't even check out at Chili's without having to fill out a review before they let you get out of the stupid screen. Can I say stupid? Is that offensive? I'm like, I get to it. I'm like, I can't. I tell them, how do we get out? We get stuck here every time. How was their service? How was They want a review before they let you pay. You see, a rant over. One of the best ways to develop mental discipline, it doesn't happen just by reading a book on how to develop mental discipline. It's a process. It's a journey that we have to take. If we want to have spiritual boldness, it's a process and it's a journey, and we need all of these components in order to make this work. So, we're looking at Proverbs 23. There are three powerful thoughts in Proverbs 23. And the first powerful thought, now if you read a chapter of Proverbs every day on the 23rd of this month, you should hit this. So the 23rd will be a review. As mental discipline requires you to actually think. Let that soak in a little bit. Mental discipline actually requires of us to think. Now, Proverbs 23:7, anybody know what Proverbs 23:7 says without looking it up real quick? Did they put it up there already? For as he thinketh, we say this, as a man thinketh, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. Everything. And this is so, so critical in being successful at anything you do in life. As a man thinketh, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This verse keeps popping up on us over and over and over again. And I believe it's because in 2019 and 2020 and into 2021, we as a complete global society allowed a handful of people to do all our thinking. We did. And we all fell into that. Now, we may have fell in it at different degrees and had different thoughts on it, but basically the whole entire globe began to think the way we were told or pushed to think. What a person thinks on. You wonder, how can somebody cold-blooded murder? You see so much of this going on, and it's sad, but how can somebody cold-blooded take out a gun or a knife and brutally murder someone? As a man thinketh, it starts with a thought. Everything we do, what a person thinks on is what they will act on. It's that simple. In order to develop positive mental discipline, This is scriptural. This isn't Tony Roberts or some of those guys that get out there and just tell you that you got to think positive. There's a reason why. There's scriptural backing as to why. In order to develop positive mental discipline, we have to break out of negative thought patterns. That simple. Filling our mind with the pure and positive and power from the Word of God. But we don't do that, do we? Most of the time, we fill it full of Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whatever is out there, our apps on our phones, we're obsessed with that. And that is what we fill our minds with every day. You see, the bishop, the best way to get rid of negative thoughts or stinking thinking, as he put it, is with a continual dose of scripture. We look in Philippians 4, 8, and 9 in the message. I'm going to read this from the message because this is a very, very powerful. It says, summing it up, friends. So here Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, and he says, everything that I've said so far, we're going to sum this all up. So summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true. So he begins to list some things. He says, you start to think about things that are true. Don't waste your time thinking about something that is nothing but gossip. Don't think about stuff that's not true. What's the point? If it's not true, why dwell on it? Why spend so much time thinking and trying to wrap your mind around a lie? He says, meditate on things true and noble. Something that's reputable, something that's authentic, something that's compelling, something that's gracious. Kind of sounds like our Lord, doesn't it? Something that's the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me. What you have heard and saw and realized. Listen, if there anyone ever that had the opportunity to talk about negative things, it was Paul. Paul could have went negative and got up and preached negative. He approached some negative topics to correct them, but he didn't stay there. It was for correction, for reproof. That was his job. He was correcting some things that needed correction. Do that. And you heard and saw and realized, do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I have some questions I want to pose to us tonight. Four simple questions. And I want you to ask yourself this, and if you're making notes, just write Y or N on your notes or in your mind. Are you a positive or negative thinker? What's the first thing you go to if there's something that you're approached with? Is it the positive or is it the negative? Next question is, are you a broke or a surplus blessing thinker? Something happens financially, do you immediately go to the broke side of the equation, or do you go to the surplus, the blessing side of the equation? Are you a rich or poor thinker? You look at yourself, do you see a poor person, or do you see somebody that's rich? And if you always look at yourself as a poor person, then you probably have some negative values that have worked their way. I don't know if negative, if a value can be negative. I have to think on that one. You always go to the poor, the negative, or rich. Are you an in-debt thinker, or are you a debt-free thinker? Now, think about that. Analyze that and work on that. The next point, I only have three simple points tonight. The second point I'd like to make is mental discipline is for you to control what you speak. Boy, this is a tough one. You know, there's some folks, when I get calls or I get text messages from certain individuals, I don't really want to respond back to this. Because it's always negative. Always negative. They're like, are you a positive or negative thinker? Negative. Are they broke or surplus? Broke. Are they rich or poor? Poor. Are they in debt or debt-free? Debt. That's just where sometimes they just go. It's one thing if you call and you're struggling and you're asking for help, but if that has become a way of life for you, then you need to think about mental discipline. This message applies to you, directly to you. So mental discipline is for you to control what you speak. Proverbs 23 is a good proverb. Yes, my heart will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Proverbs 23:16. Let me ask you a question. How often do you use negative or self-defeating words to express doubt or lack of confidence in yourself or fear about something you are facing? In other words, how do you speak? When you're referring to yourself, how do you speak? How do you speak? Do you speak broke or do you speak debt-free, rich, and blessed? You don't have to have a lot of money to be debt-free, rich, and blessed. Being debt-free basically means is you're not living from paycheck to paycheck, necessarily. But you can be debt-free and still not have a lot of money. You can be broke and have a lot of stuff. Most debt-free people I know don't have a lot of stuff. That's why they're debt free. This is a simple analogy here. Most people that have a lot of stuff are broke. How do you speak? You see, the rich doesn't say, I can't. The blessed don't say, oh, if only. If only. But have you ever noticed that people who speak, I know I should, never get around to doing anything? I know I should do this. Well, then do it. You know, I've got this a little different attitude. I guess as you get older, you get a little bit more bold. I'm 61, close to retirement. You know, it's not that far out. And it's like some people are walking on eggshells that I'm gonna retire and I gotta make sure I have enough money and I can't do this and I can't do that and if only I know I should do this. But if you notice people who say I know I should never get around. People live their whole lives always wishing they could do or would do something and never do it because they're not bold enough to do it. I don't want to get I put together a message, and I haven't preached it, and I don't know if I ever will. Maybe it's just something for me. And I titled it, No Regrets. Ever have a regret in life? Ever have regrets? I had a long conversation with Brother Hicks about this, and that's what spurred this message on. And we were talking about regrets, and I believe, if my memory serves me, Perry was like, you know, I don't have any regrets. I don't regret my MS. God has been good. God has been faithful. I have a wife that loves me. I have a family. I got a beautiful home. What is there to regret? Now, you can look at Brother Perry and you can say, oh, man. The only way he can get anywhere is in that wheelchair. Has no regrets. Speaks words. People who speak, I know I should never get around to do anything. Speak the words you want to be true. This is a positive mental attitude. This is building and leading into faith, which is coming next after this series. We need to begin to speak words that we are challenging in the spirit. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to begin to speak revival into our own minds and heart. If we don't believe it in here and up here, it's never going to happen. Because if we don't believe it here and here, it means our faith won't allow us to get there. That means we're going to doubt God that he can't do what he says he can do. It all starts with mental discipline. When you are thinking, what you are thinking and speaking determines where you're living and where you are going. Period. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who quicketh the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. When God called Abraham, God already in his mind envisioned Israel today. Abraham was struggling because he was 90 years old and he had no son. When God first spoke to him, I believe he was 75. He was 100 years old when Sarah got pregnant. Abraham was having a hard time, but God called those things, but not as though they were. God saw, God sees the end results of revival here at Calvary Gospel Church. What you think about and what you speak about gets in our minds, gets in our hearts. Just as negative thoughts can dwell and conquer a mind, positive thoughts can cause our faith to climb and to soar. And that leads into our third mental discipline, is how you apply the words you've thought and spoken. I mean, sometimes we would love to just speak prophetically about our lives, wouldn't we? But I believe that we can. Maybe it doesn't happen the way that we expect it to happen. But you see, Abraham, as an example, Abraham obviously began to think differently because he began to follow God where God told him to go. He basically traveled the boundaries of Israel. So when you think about this, Proverbs 23:12. Man, there's a lot in Proverbs 23 tonight, isn't there? Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You see, it's important to think and speak right words. But the development of strong character qualities is based on what we do about what we think. Let me repeat that one. It's important to think and speak right words, but the development of strong character qualities is based on what we think about or what we do about what we think. So James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. He has this little clause in there, deceiving yourselves. A lot of times, this is so popular in our world today. People like to tell other people what to do, but they don't want to do it themselves. Perfect example of that is when we see, and I'm just gonna get mean and nasty, when we see our government officials telling us to put masks on, and then they're seen in restaurants and ball fields without them. Okay, that's something we all can relate to. We all know that. That's a sign of telling you something and not so, okay, are there not germs in the restaurant? Are there not germs at the ballpark? Why does everybody else have to, but you don't? You see, what happens, it's deceiving yourselves. You become a hypocrite, hypocrisy, and you begin to believe your own lies. And we have a world full of that. We have politicians full of that. We have social media full of that. People believe their own profiles, and it's made up. Figure that one out. You make up a profile, and then you believe it. According to Strong's Concordance, the word doer, it's a Greek word. It means a maker, a producer, author, a performer, one who obeys and fulfills the law. Nowhere in that definition do we read that a doer is a talker. We have a lot of talkers today and not very many doers. Our musicians can come. James 1:22 in the Amplify says, but be doers of the word. Obey the message. Obey the message. It's easy sometimes to tell people to do something and not do it yourself. I think that's probably one of the most difficult struggles that anyone that gets behind this pulpit has to face, and that is everything you preach and teach, you have to live. It's a struggle sometimes. You say, well, how come the pastor never talks about this? Well, maybe the pastor has a problem living this. I'm just laying it out there. I want to be a doer. I don't want to be a talker. I want to be a doer. I want to obey the message and not merely listen to it. I want to apply it to my life. I want us as a church body to apply these principles, these biblical godly principles to our lives. So be doers of the word. Obey the message and not merely listening to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. You see, the bottom line is, you can stand this evening, the bottom line is developing a mental discipline isn't just a matter of luck. It's not just going to bed at night and listening to the positive mental attitude stuff on your phone app with your iPods or earbuds or whatever they are in your ears and sleeping all night long listening. The difference between those who are successful and accomplish great things and those who don't come down to one simple thing. Thinking and talking about what you're doing is not going to cut it. We can sit up here all night long and we can have Bible study and preaching, evangelistic preaching. Man, pastor can get all wound up I can drink 3 or 4 cans of Mountain Dew and get up here and we could have an evangelistic, rip-snorting, caffeine-infused, gut-blasting message. We can talk about revival and we can talk about it and we can plan for it and we can plan for it. There's one problem in all of this. There's no action. There's no action. You see, what happened there that day in the book of Acts in chapter 4 was something that was astounding. Because no doubt Peter and John had walked past that lame man for years and they never acted. They never acted. They never did anything about it. Maybe they flipped a coin in his cup every now and then. But this day, Brother Repka, something was different. This day, because Scripture said they perceived they had been with Jesus. This day, something was different. I can imagine Peter and John as they were walking saying, remember what Jesus said, greater things than these? Yeah. He healed the lame? Yeah. They're at the pool of Bethesda? Yeah. We saw that. We saw when he took a ball of clay and off the ground and spit in it and put it in a man's eyeball and God healed him. It was just, we were there when he fed the 5,000 and he calmed the storm and he said, greater things than these. Hey, you know that lame man? Yeah. They didn't say, let's pray for him. Let's fast. Let's go back and fast for 3 days and get in the right spirit. They saw him and they responded with boldness. They saw a man with a need and they acted boldly. And they spoke boldly to the need. And what happened when we speak boldly to a need? What happens? Sister Moran, God responds boldly. Immediately, his ankle bones received strength. And he shot up out of there and began running and leaping and jumping and praising God. They responded in boldness, and God immediately responded back boldly. So the power of boldness. Yes, boldness is a fearless attitude. Boldness is fearless speech. And boldness is fearless action. So as our worship team begins to lead us in worship tonight, I want us to think about this next week, from here through till next Wednesday, or actually next Wednesday, I think, Brother Peter. We're already into May already. What kind of thinker are we? How do we process things? Think about that, Brother Repka. Where do I stand? If God wanted to use me in a positive way, could he ever get through my mind? Could he ever get through that plate of negativity that we allowed in our hearts and our minds? So let's just make our way to the front. This is a challenge tonight. Say, God, help me. Help me, God. I want to be bold in my thinking. I want to have boldness in my mental attitude. I want to have boldness in my actions. God bless you. Next week, are you a positive or negative thinker? Do you always look at yourself as broke and not blessed? Are you a rich or poor thinker? Are you in debt or debt-free thinker? And the three principles we covered tonight, first is mental discipline requires you to actually think. You have to think. And our world is so short on critical thinking. People don't know how to process things. When I say, well, I can't process that, that means you can't think your way through it. Because they've taken all of that out. They're not teaching that anymore. We're trying to... That's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother series. Second is mental discipline is for you to control what you speak. The second mental discipline, is for you to control what you speak. Are you one of those people that basically you speak before you think? A lot of people. Are you one of those people that just speaks because you want to be heard? And the third mental discipline is how you apply the words you've thought and spoken. There's application to everything. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You know what the biggest thing, one of the biggest problems we have in society today is nobody wants to take instructions. People don't like to be told what to do anymore. They want to do what they want to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Okay, well, go ahead. Don't ask me to pick it up. Don't ask me to clean up the mess. Don't ask me to bail you out. We have a whole world, a whole society that's that way. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. And where do we get that word of knowledge, that wisdom from? Where do we get that? It's all rooted right here. God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming out tonight. You have a very blessed evening. Remember Saturday, Brother Caskey's 80th birthday open house here. And the Seidels this weekend will be having a special service for them on Sunday with tacos. So, come hungry. Voses is going to be cooking us up some awesome tacos. God bless you. And we'll see you here on Saturday and Sunday.